This is going to be the final in the series because the rapture is going to take place at the end of the service. So I didn't prepare for next week. Why should I? I know it's been a dramatic series, certainly for those who haven't heard about this thing before. And for some of you, I know that you've been anxious about being left behind. But you know, let me say this, it's really a bittersweet thing, because to be forewarned is to be forearmed. In other words, if you know what's coming and you can be prepared for it, then you have the solution. Okay? The sad thing is that there's not a lot of people or preachers that are sharing this material, so a large portion of the body of Christ is not ready for what's going to happen. And it's a huge part of the Bible. You know, after being saved by grace through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is one of the major themes of the New Testament and also from the Old Testament. So we're going to do our best to try and wrap this up today. We're going to show you the difference between the rapture and the second coming. So we'll go through a lot of things really very quickly. And then we're going to prove to you that the rapture precedes the tribulation. Everybody say yay.
Yay.
It won't be in the middle of the tribulation, and it's not going to be at the end, a post-tribulation rapture. It's going to be up front. And then we will share with you what everybody wants to know is who can expect to go in the rapture. All right? I'm sure you would like to know that. And then what can we do to prepare ourselves to go? All right, so we'll get into that. So let's begin straight away with the characteristics of the end time, the event that's going to happen, the second coming of Jesus, right at the end after the rapture. So let me give you some things so we can distinguish that from the rapture. So when you read the Bible, you'll understand, oh, this refers to that part, not this part. It's good for you to understand. So, the second coming occurs immediately after the Great Tribulation. Every eye at that time when Jesus comes will see Jesus. He's going to come like lightning flashing across the sky, according to Matthew 24:27. Even the Jewish nation, the Bible says, those who pierced him will see him. And that is in Revelation 1 and verse 7. He's going to come with clouds. He's going to come with great glory and power. The sun and the moon are going to be darkened at that time, and the stars will fall from the sky. He's going to physically land on the Mount of Olives, according to Zechariah 14 and verse 4. He's coming to fight in the great battle called the Battle of Armageddon. He's coming to judge the nations of the world, according to Matthew 25:31. At the time of his return, there will be pandemonium and chaos on the earth like never in the history of the world. The Bible, Jesus said that as well. He's going to return with his saints, according to 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13. Jesus, when he descends from heaven, is going to be riding a white horse. He's going to be wearing a white robe. He's going to have the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords across the robe, and his robe will be dipped in blood, and on his thigh will be the same name. When he arrives at the brightness of his coming, he will destroy the Antichrist, and at that time he will cast the Antichrist and the beast, the false prophet, into the lake of fire, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then Jesus immediately begins his 1,000-year millennium reign on the earth. He is then the only king on the earth, according to Zechariah 14:4 and Revelations 20, verse 1 through 6. Did you get all that? Good. So you stay with me then, all right? This is where we're going to be going. So let me show you some of the scriptures very briefly. Honestly, if you want more teaching and have to come to Bible college, this is about a 20-hour teaching. I've crunched down to 4 half lessons, so just to whet your appetite. So immediately after the tribulation, according to Matthew 24 and verse 29, Jesus said, immediately, no time wasted, after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Do you remember? We opened up the series reading from Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost. You might remember this, verse 19 and 20, where Peter quotes the prophet Joel. Joel said the same thing is going to happen. Now Jesus said it's going to happen, and Peter referred back to Joel. Three times in Scripture, it's an absolute fact. Absolute fact. He said, at that time, exactly at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all nations, not some, all nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. So every eye is going to see him. Got it? Lightning, flashing, every eye is going to see him. They're going to get a fright. They're going to, woo! They're going to mourn. Oh my, you're real. Verse 31, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now for those who think that it is the gathering together of the believers on the earth to meet him, just read the Bible. It didn't say gathering on the earth. It said from the heavens. Little difference. Why would he be gathering from the heavens? Because those who went to the rapture are up there. And we had the wedding feast of the Lamb, and now we're visiting. We're everywhere. I mean, Christians like to visit, right? So we're everywhere. So he says, listen, boys and girls, come back here. Come from everywhere. The four corners of heaven, we're going back to earth. All right, Lord, let me just get my horse. I'm on following you. Don't leave without me. This event that is coming is going to be cataclysmic. It's going to be catastrophic. It's going to be with power and great glory, worse than any atomic bomb has ever hit the earth. Because if you read the book of Revelation as to what's going on at that time, you need to understand something. The sun is no more going to shine. Neither will the moon, and the stars are going to fall from the heavens. So what's going to happen, if you imagine you're in a theater and all the lights go down and you're waiting for the entrance and suddenly a flash of lightning comes and bursting on the scene is Jesus, all the lights of heaven go down as the Master arrives. Whole earth is going to shake. Stars are going to fall. Moon is going to bow. The sun is going to bow to the sun. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Zechariah 14:4. On that day, everybody say on that day. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. This is in Jerusalem, east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives are going to split apart. And then the Lord, my God, will come. Yes. Notice this. And all his holy ones with him. I'm going to show you, I mean, you know, there's hundreds of scriptures. I told you there's at least twice as many referring to his second coming. Remember that? Day one, I said that. And we haven't even touched on a fragment of them. On that day, Zechariah the prophet looks into the future and he says, on that day, the sources, plural, of light will no longer shine. Doesn't that sound like the sun, the moon, and the stars? Yeah. Yet there will be continuous day. Only the Lord knows how this could happen. The sun goes dark, the moon goes dark, skies fall. Zechariah's looking at this thinking, somebody make it be booby, lights down, There will be no normal day and night. For at evening, it will still be light. And it will be like that in heaven. There is no sun in heaven. Because the light coming from the glory of Jesus lights up heaven. when he's arrived, we won't need a son. We talk about great glory and power. You won't need a son. Yeah. Verse 9. And the Lord will be king over all the earth on that day. Everybody say on that day.
Amen.
On that day, he will be king. See, there will be one Lord, and his name alone will be worshipped. Because up until then, people were worshipping different things, different gods and everything else. But from that day, one God, one Lord, he's going to be reigning and ruling. This begins his 1,000-year reign on the earth. Yeah. What a day it's going to be, right? So let's look at the arrival of the King of Kings. Again, we're at the end of the Great Tribulation. We'll pick it up from Revelation 19, verse 11. John says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. And his name is written on him, no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven are following behind him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. That's no army, Bubba. That you and me. Fine linen. White and clean. We're not going to war. We're going to watch war. Yeah, we're going to watch the King of Kings do his thing. And we're going to be right behind him. We say, hit him, Jesus. Get him, Jesus. Like the name of the dog. Remember? The parrot. Jesus is going to get you. You know the story? Get him, Jesus. Yeah, huh? The neighbor. We'll be right there. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. No. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on, shout it with me. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For all of those who wouldn't listen, who thought you were joking or thought you were a joke. Then I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. Talking about Jesus. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast, the 666, and had worshipped his image. And the two of them, the beast and the Antichrist, thrown in alive to the fiery lake burning with fire. Now, if we had time, we could show you at the end of the 1,000 years when the Satan is thrown into the same burning fire pit. Guess what? The Antichrist is still there, burning 1,000 years later. For those who think it's quick over. Mm-mm. No, no. All right, so done with that. Let's go to the pre-tribulation. Let's get some good news. That was pretty good news, wasn't it? Yeah, I thought it was good news. So, you know, some critics have said, and I've had it said to me. They say, well, you know, you who believe in the rapture, what you're actually doing is you're looking for an escape from facing the reality. You don't face the reality of where we're living. You're looking for an escape. Well, sweetheart, read the Bible. It is an escape. What do you think? The Bible says it's an escape. And you know what? God always delivers those who love him. Always. And God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Didn't he deliver Sodom out of Gomorrah before he rained fire and brimstone out? I mean, you remember how Abraham pleaded for the city, and eventually God sends his angels. Said, come on out, boys. Come on out. I'm going to rain down fire and brimstone. Just like the rapture. Didn't he deliver Noah before the flood came? Absolutely. Come on, Noah. We're getting you out. Then we're going to bring judgment. That's exactly what's going to happen. At the end time, he's never changed. Now, the rapture is going to come as a thief in the night. Only those who are expecting his return will see him and hear the command, come up here. Select people will hear this. At the time of the rapture, life will be going on as usual. Jesus said, this is what it's going to be like. As it was in the days of Noah. People were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. And didn't know. Take that picture and compare it to the day before Jesus comes back in the second time, when there's chaos and earth is moving and the sky is falling down and stars are falling down and things are going crazy and there's blood in the water, and Caesar's saying, does that sound like life is normal? There is no comparison between the days of Noah and what it's going to look like in the last few months of the Great Tribulation. Jesus is not confused about the two. He's totally saying, look at this, where we're living right now. People are going on like peace and safety. Don't worry about it. Nothing to be concerned about. You know, just everything is cool. Live like you want to. Doesn't matter. You know, we've heard about him coming back. Not so, yeah, don't worry about it and everything. Jesus said, that's the time. That's the time it's going to happen. So at the time of the resurrection, this is when Jesus comes. There's going to be a resurrection of the saints. Those that are dead in Christ will rise first, get glorified bodies, okay? We'll have flesh and bone bodies, but no blood in our bodies. Okay, how do I know that? Because when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he didn't have any blood in his body. He said to the disciples, touch me, I'm not a spirit. Flesh and bone, he said. Flesh and bone. He meant does not mention blood, because his blood had been put on the mercy seat already. And then he ate some fish to prove that you can eat after the resurrection. Otherwise, going to the wedding feast will be a waste of time. Push the chicken and fall back on the other side. Try that one more time. Got to get something in here. No calories in heaven. It just wouldn't be heaven if there were calories. Amen. So we're going to have glorified bodies. That the Bible refers to that as the first part of the resurrection, part A of the first resurrection. Don't have time to deal with it. Christians are going to meet the Lord in the air. Going up to meet him in the air, not coming down with him. Huge difference. All right? We're not on the earth waiting for his arrival. We're coming with him. Big difference. Christians are promised that we'll escape the great judgment of God's wrath that's going to be poured out on the earth. We're promised this. God has not appointed us to suffer that wrath and that anger of God. Now, the harvest from the earth that Jesus referred to, he said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. So the earth is the harvest field. According to James 5 and verse 7, the farmer is waiting for the former and the latter rain, which is the Holy Spirit poured out now, the second part of the Holy Spirit being poured out, to ripen the harvest before the Lord arrives as the judge. James 5, 7. There is no massive display of glory and power of God at the rapture. It occurs in the twinkling of an eye. That's so quick. Boom, and that's done. Unlike what is happening and reaching up to the final climax. Can you see the difference? All right, I hope you can. All right, so now let's begin reading some of the scriptures that we can refer to about this. And we'll start with Luke 21, 34. Jesus is speaking and he says, be careful. Be careful, this is a warning. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down. Your heart, your spirit man will be weighed down. It'll simply be dulled. It'll be dulled. Be weighed down. With what? And then he tells you what is going to cause your heart to be weighed down. He says with dissipation. What is dissipation? You can look it up. It means careless living. It means partying. It means overeating. It just means living life. Actually, one translation says shopping. I wouldn't lie. I'm in church. I wouldn't lie to you. I'm in church. Okay? And I'm not just preaching. Okay? So, if you want to go in the rapture, cut up the credit cards. That's all I can say. I'm just kidding with you. Joke, all right? But true, that's what that word is. Go look it up yourself. Then the other thing it says, drunkenness. Drunkenness. Now, this is a problem. It's an epidemic right now in the last days. Drunkenness, alcoholism is a problem even amongst Christians. Okay, just throwing that out there. And it says, the anxieties of life, which is basically the stress. So, Jesus says, be careful. Because this is what's going to happen. Your heart's going to be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. Why the warning? If everybody is going, why the warning? Why say, be alert? Don't allow the world to get a hold of you in this condition. Why? Why the warning? Verse 35, for it will come, this day is going to come on all of those who live on the earth, all of those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always, not sometime, not Sunday mornings, on the watch, be alert, always on the watch, alert, watch and pray. Jesus says, watch and pray that you may be able to escape half of the tribulation, the last 2 months. How much? All that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Now notice this, there's two times in this verse Jesus says that you may be able. You may be able. That is our responsibility. If you looked it up in the Greek, it simply means that you have the full strength and that you have the ability and that you're counted worthy. Says it twice. Everybody say passionate. Passionate. So if you're in the Promised Church, we and me are trying with the help of the Holy Spirit to get you to be a passionate believer. Always watching, always praying, always alert. Amen. Yep? Amen. All right. Some people don't like it. They only be alert once a month. Others love it. Can't get enough of going to church and life groups and so on. Amen? Then he says here, and you might be able to stand before the Son of Man. Now, that is not standing at the great white throne judgment. Rather, standing before the throne of man is the judgment seat of Christ where you will receive rewards done. You're going to receive rewards. So he said that you be counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man and have rewards given to you. Okay? Now, Jesus will rescue us from the coming wrath of God. Let me give you some scripture. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. Speaking of the Thessalonian church, he said, Paul says, they tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Got it? Jesus is going to rescue us from the coming outpouring of God's wrath. That is not talking about going to hell. Jesus took the wrath of God for us. Do you understand that? He was punished in our place. We don't have to face that wrath of God. We don't have to. Unless you're left behind, then you'll have to. You have no alternative. See, people told me this. The tribulation period is the purification of the church. Me be purified before. Me vote for before purification. Look, Lord, look. Amen. Come on now. Who is being purified by believing in Jesus and the washing of the blood? Right. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. So it is not the purification of the church. It's the outpouring of God's anger and judgment on those who wouldn't receive Jesus. You say, well, why would he be doing that? So that they would have a chance to repent. And if you read the book of Revelations, it says, and they still wouldn't repent. And they cursed God. And they continued in their wicked ways. And they still wouldn't repent. And you read the book of Revelations and say, are you guys out of your mind? What's it going to take? What is it going to take? 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them who came out of the grave in the clouds to meet the Lord where?
Yeah.
Not on the Mount of Olives. The people who are going to be on the Mount of Olives with the Lord, if you'll read the Bible, is the 144,000 Jewish people who receive a mark so that they are protected during the time of the Great Tribulation and they're protected from everything that's going on. And the Bible clearly says they will be there, and we'll be singing a new song of Zion. 144,000. Okay? All right. We're going to be meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Comfort each other with these words. It means we're going to be taken out from here and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be with the Lord. We're not going to go through this judgment. Comfort yourself. Encourage each other. You're not going to go through that. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. Now, brothers, about the times and the dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And you'll think I'm reading the same scripture over and over, right? That's what it sounds like. Like, okay, move on. You've read the scripture. No, it's a different scripture. It's going to come like a thief in the night, which means unexpectedly, when you're not expecting it to happen. When is it going to come? While people are saying peace and safety. Picture this. You're 6.5 years into the Great Tribulation. You've managed to survive. You're hiding in the rocks in the caves. You don't have food or water. Everything has been really turned upside down. People are ready to kick you, you know, cut your head off and do something like this. And you're lying there and you're going, well, this is peace and safety. No. He's going to come when people are saying peace and safety. When people will be saying, you don't need to go to church. You know, things cool, you know. Come on. God is never going to be like that. There's no hell. You don't have to worry about that. Yeah, I mean, just, sure, man. Yeah. No. Destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Verse 4, but you, brothers, you are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. Why? Why does he keep saying, guys, you're not living in darkness. Your eyes are open. This is not going to be a surprise to you. Why would he be saying that? You are all sons of the light. You're sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Say passionate. Passionate. Say it one more time. Passionate. Passionate. You're sons and daughters of the light, not of the night. Amen. Amen? So then, let us not be like others who are asleep. That's not dead. It's just talking about those who are walking around the earth, asleep, unaware, out of it, don't care, living life the way they want to, in darkness. He says they're asleep. But let us be alert. Alert. Did we say alert? Alert. And self-controlled. Alert and self-controlled. We've got to be awake. Like people of the light, and we have to be alert and we have to be self-controlled. It's a requirement to go in the rapture. Otherwise, you'll be caught unawares. You know, I'm not trying to frighten anybody. I'm actually trying to give you good news because I'm giving you the exam questions. Do you understand that? These are the questions already up front. Don't tell me, well, my pastor Henry, he didn't tell me I have to be alert. He didn't tell me I have to watch and pray. He just said, live any way I want to. Liar, liar, pants on fire. People, nothing is going to surprise you during the Great Tribulation. He said this day is going to surprise you. So don't be caught, don't be a surprise. Nothing is going to surprise you in the Great Tribulation. Why? Because, I mean, last week there's a thing that blew up and something fell on the sky and then an angel came down and a meteorite hit the earth and there was a huge earthquake. You know what you'd be saying? Okay, what's coming today? You'll be expecting some horrific event to occur. You'll be waiting for something to happen, some unthinkable, horrific thing. Okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? That you're not going to be caught by surprise at that time. So he's not talking about his second coming. He's talking about being caught by surprise when he comes in the rapture. It's obvious. Listen, church, listen. I'm going to pastor you just for 1 minute. Don't let the devil talk you out of your walk. Verse 7, for those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled. Again, let us be self-controlled. Putting on faith and love and a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. One more time. We're not appointed to this wrath. So, who's going to go in the rapture? And what can I do to prepare? How many want to know? All right, not enough. We'll move on to the next point. So Jesus has warned us to be alert. He said to watch and pray. All right, you don't know when I'm coming. You don't know when the return is going to be. In Matthew 24, 42, he says, therefore keep watch, Jesus says, because you do not know the day that your Lord will come. Verse 44, so you must also be ready because the Son of Man is coming an hour when you do not expect him. It does sound like I'm reading the same verse over and over and over, huh? Just putting a different reference number in front of it. This is the truth. This is what keeps saying. Everybody say passionate.
Passionate.
One more turn time. Turn to somebody and say passionate.
Passionate.
All right, who's going to go? Those that are eagerly waiting for his return. Those who are prepared. Those who are living ready. Those who are self-controlled. Those who are watching and praying. Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait.
Yes.
Everybody say eagerly. We eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies into that which is like his glorious body. Hebrews 9:28. Even so, it is that Christ, having been offered to take upon himself and bear as a burden the sins of many once and for all, will appear a second time, not to carry any burden of sin, nor to deal with sin, but to bring to full salvation. Everybody say full salvation.
Full salvation.
Now there's something you haven't heard. There's something you haven't heard. Don't have the time. Moving on. To bring to full salvation those who are eagerly, constantly and patiently waiting for and expecting him. Who's going to be brought to full salvation? Those that are eagerly waiting, expecting, and alert for his coming. See, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not here to try and scare you. I'm not here to try and like put you under any type of condemnation or whatever it is. But, you know, if the shoe wears, fits it. How should we live while we wait for Jesus' return? Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It, the grace of God, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled. What is this thing about having to live self-controlled? Come on, man, I'm a Christian. Live like I want to. No, self-controlled. Upright and godly lives in this present age. The grace of God tells us to do this in this present age. Verse 13, while we wait. While we wait. This is how we prepare. For the blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the blessed hope. He's appearing. Verse 14, Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from the wickedness, from all wickedness, and to purify for himself. He purified for himself a people that are his very own. And this people are eager to do what is good. People say passionate.
Passionate.
You might understand why our whole goal and motive and theme of this church is to get people to be passionate believers in Jesus. See, the hope of seeing Jesus, the hope when we'd say, well, Jesus, you can come. That hope of seeing Jesus actually purifies us. Do you know that? First John chapter 3 and verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will we be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. There's not a person in this room today who's not looking for the return of Jesus who just didn't purify themselves with that thought. Those who have said, not tonight, Jesus. No, not quite ready. You know that there's a lack of purification. Immediately. Am I ready? Not ready. You know the story of the 10 virgins? I'm not going to get into it. Jesus said, this is what the kingdom is going to be like. And he uses 10 virgins. And he said, verse 1 of Matthew 25, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the what? To meet the who? One more time. The who? The bridegroom. We have the virgins meeting the bridegroom. He's the bridegroom, is he not? Yes. 10 virgins waiting for him, and then when the bridegroom delayed his coming. It's one of three verses that says Jesus is actually delaying his return. He said, but Jesus didn't know when he was coming. When he was on the earth, he didn't know. But he knows now. He knows now. He and the Father worked this out. Okay? But he's going to delay his return. Why? So more people can get saved. That's why he's delaying his return. So while he's delaying his return, what happens? These ten virgins, they fall asleep. And then when he comes, they say the bridegroom's coming. They wake up. Half of them are unprepared. No oil, unprepared. And they go, so help us with oil. And no. We just have enough for ourselves. So they go to get some more oil, and he arrives when they are gone, the unprepared. He goes in with the five, door shut. Other five arrive, and they say, let us in. And he says, I don't know you. Depart from me. 10 virgins. You get it? And he said, this is what it's going to be like. Jesus warned us through this parable. Therefore, verse 13, he says one more time, therefore, keep watch because you do not know the hour. Keeps on warning. Who's going to go? The fully committed. The unashamed will go. Mark 8:38, from the mouth of Jesus. If anyone is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man himself will be ashamed of him. When will he be ashamed of him? When he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels. At his return. He said, if you've been ashamed of me in this adulterous generation, you wouldn't talk about me. Your family doesn't know you're a believer. People at work don't know you're a believer. I just got to go look at your social network and your social intermediate and what's going on, then I can tell from that whether you talk about Jesus or not. Huh? And if you're ashamed of me out there in this wicked generation, when I return, I will be ashamed of you. Jesus' words, not mine. Not mine. And he's not talking to unbelievers. He said, if you're ashamed of me, it's got to be a believer. Believers don't care. I mean, unbelievers don't care. They're not ashamed or unashamed. It's the believers who could be ashamed, who won't fess up, who won't talk about their faith and share with Jesus. You're ashamed of Jesus, your Lord, and your Bible beliefs. You won't stand up and say, I believe the Bible says this. You're in a crowd. You won't worse than I'll be persecuted. Then get persecuted. Get persecuted. Everybody say passionate. It's briefly the wedding feast of the Lamb. Can you handle it? All right, I'm running out of time. Revelation 19:6. I think I hear the trumpet. Just for a moment, look up. Everybody, look up just for a moment. All right. And I heard, John says, as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife, everybody say bride, has made herself ready. How many of you have participated in a wedding when the bride didn't get ready? Huh? When the bride sat back and said, you know what? If that groom wants me, he's going to have to come dress me. He's going to come do my hair. He's going to get me ready and put my makeup on. No. The bride gets herself ready and gets people around her to help her. You're not quite ready. Do this. You're not quite ready. Put this on. That's what I'm doing to you now. I'm helping you dress. The bride has made herself ready. And to her, the bride, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. Oh, I remember that. They were on the horses wearing that, weren't they? Oh, yeah, I remember that. Okay, all right. Now hold on tight. Now listen carefully. This is in the Bible. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Sila. That means think about that, sweetheart. No righteous acts, no linen, fine and clean. What the bride will be wearing will be what she did on earth as righteous acts. Are you out there? You're going home. Promise you the rapture has not happened. You better hear me. Then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words of God. Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You're the bride. The Holy Spirit and you. Jesus, come. Say it with me. Jesus, come. I'm ready. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears what has been preached, say, come. And whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. He who is testifying of these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. And as the book of Revelation concludes in chapter 22, in just one verse from the end, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. The Bible is filled with the fact that he's coming again. And Jesus over and over, and the Spirit of God over and over, told the church to be ready, to be alert, to be self-controlled, to be watching and to be praying and to be about the Master's business. Did not. Yes or no?
Yes.
He's told us. Every eye closed.